Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I'm coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting here in my podcast studio at Studio 316, kicking back in my recliner chair, foot on a cooler, pearl beer neon clock spinning around like a rotisserie chicken. I look out the goddamn window, and it's an absolute beautiful day here in Marina Del Rey, California. God damn it. I wish your weather was as good as mine right here. If it ain't, if it's stormy, if it's cold, if it's not worth the fuck, or if it's hotter than hell, hang in there. Shit's got to get better. Hey, man, check it out. I got a goddamn real entertaining show for you today. I always say I do this show for the working man and the working woman, and I goddamn got a working man for your ass today. I had a couple guests scheduled for the show. One got scheduled to go out of town on a trip of sorts, and the other one came down sick, so I had to call an audible. What the fuck you gonna do, Steve? You got to deliver a can of audio whoop-ass for the people that listen to the Steve Austin Show all over the goddamn globe. So I started thinking, man, what the fuck you gonna do? You got to turn out something. What are you gonna do, just do a Q&A? I've been having lots of questions. You guys been sending the questions at SteveAustinShow.com. And if you got some more comments, send them on in. Started rolling through the contacts on my iPhone like I always do when I, you know, don't plan too far in advance or the shit hits the fan and some people have to bail on me. That's what I do. Well, I rolled through the contacts on my iPhone. And I said, well, fuck that. Let me go to the questions that I pulled aside over on my email, the ones that you guys been sending in. I started looking, and I seen a goddamn email from a guy in Louisiana who has emailed me about 20 or 30 times. His name is Rhett Thibodeau. I said, man, I don't know this motherfucker from Adam, but he sent me about 20 or 30 emails. He's got a broken skull knife. He sent me a picture where he cut his goddamn finger. He emails me about Bronco, so he's got to have good taste, and he sounds like he's pretty cool. So I said, you know what? As many emails this guy sent me, I'm going to call his ass and see if he wants to fucking hook up for a podcast. So that's exactly what I did. First three times I called his ass, he didn't answer the phone. Turns out, I think he thought it was a bill collector. I finally said, you know what? I'm going to give this motherfucker one more call and see if he answers the phone. Well, anyway, you're going to hear him answer the phone. And I caught him right in the middle of his lunch hour eating a po' boy sandwich down there close to Lafayette, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Somewhere down in Louisiana. Turns out Rhett Thibodeau has been in the business of pro wrestling for about 14, 15 years, 34 years of age. Does some security systems as his main job, but wrestles on the weekends, promotes shows, and shit. He didn't think it was really Stone Cold Steve Austin, as you'll hear in the conversation. He thinks it's Will Sasso. Will Sasso is the comedian who is world famous for, first of all, being a comedian and being extremely funny and a very talented actor, but also world renowned for his spot on Stone Cold Steve Austin impersonation or impression, whatever the word is. So anyway, right after the conversation starts, he realizes that it is the real McCoy. It is Stone Cold Steve Austin. It is the global icon and national treasure calling him. And when he picked up the phone, my Blue Yeti microphone was sitting down on the floor beside my chair. So at the beginning of the conversation, if it sounds like you can't hear me very well, it's because I haven't picked up my microphone yet and done the math. 2 + 2 = 4. I had my headsets plugged into my computer, but my microphone was down on the floor. So I put my mic in my lap and I start shooting the breeze with this cat. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I don't know anything about this guy. We're shooting the shit. He's down to earth. He's pretty goddamn funny. He's a country boy. He's a hardworking cat. So let me see how much time I can get out of him. Maybe I can get a 15-minute segment out of him. Maybe I can get half of a show. We start shooting shit and started talking. I look at the clock, 15 minutes. We keep shooting the clock, 30 minutes, talking about Attitude Era, NWO, Hulk Hogan turning heel, Chris Jericho, Perry Saturn making the jump from WCW to WWE. Man, this cat's into the Monday Night Wars. He remembers Stone Cold Steve Austin. So anyway, I look down at the clock. Shit, 55 minutes later, we had a podcast recording talking about pro wrestling, po' boy sandwiches, Ford Broncos, promoting wrestling shows, working inside the squared circle. He actually knows Frogman LeBlanc. We argue over the pronunciation of the name LeBlanc. My first pro wrestling opponent in the Dallas Sportatorium some 30 years ago. This sumbitch comes out of the blue. I think you're going to enjoy the show. So that's who I'm talking to today. Talking to the working man down in Louisiana. And I enjoyed the conversation so much. I'm looking forward to talking to more people. So I'm going to do more Q&As here on the podcast and calling in and calling out. So that's my show today. But before I get into Rhett Thibodeau and what's going on down there in the pro wrestling scene in Louisiana, I just got finished talking to my contractor over at 316 Gimmick Street. And we're getting real close over there. Everything is coming together. We're about 96% complete. We had an audio video guy come over today and talk about where we were going to mount the TVs on the living room wall and in the bedroom on the wall. We're just going to have 2 TVs and get those done against the wall, mounted on the wall for clean application. All the plumbing and shit's in, all the light fixtures in, the painters are in there doing their final touch-ups. We're waiting on 2 pendant lights that hang over the island in the kitchen. Those sumbitches ain't going to be here for another 4, 5, 6 weeks, but we don't need the pendant lights to be there so we can move in. I believe we will start moving a couple of pieces of furniture back in, at least our bed and my motherfucking couch into the living room. Don't need all the other bullshit yet. We can move the basics in there and start living there, and I'd be really, really happy to get back into my normal crib and get back in the groove of things. One of the things that has been handy about living over here, 317 Gimmick Street next door, is house training Callie, our almost 12-week-old black lab puppy. She's a female. She's very smart. This dog is about 85 to 90% on her potty training. But every now and then, she'll uncork some piss or shit on my carpet or on one of these hardwood floors over here. So I don't want her shitting and pissing all over my goddamn brand new crib over there. So hopefully we got her dialed up to perfection by the time we get over there. If she has a slip up, it is what it is. And I'll tell you what, man, that damn dog is a pistol. That dog plays with Mula, who's 4 years old, and she has more energy and backbone and strong-willed, and she will just battle Mula all day long. And Mula's like a stud. She's 4 years old. She's in the prime of her life. She's super smart. My new nickname for Mula is Miss America. That's how pretty she is.
And Mula would just play with that goddamn dog all day long and wear her ass out. And finally, the puppy is sleeping throughout the night. And that just started about 2 days ago. Well, I take that back. Last night at 3 a.m. in the morning, I took her ass out to take a piss and a shit. I hate to keep talking about that on the damn podcast, but that's my life. My life is the podcast. So I got some great guests coming up in the future. I'm not going to drop any names, but I got some people scheduled to come by the crib. You know what? Matter of fact, I will go ahead and say that I got Shane McMahon. Shane O'Mac is coming by the crib sometime next week. I believe next week or within 10 days. And I was actually supposed to interview Shane McMahon in Baltimore, Maryland, way back in the day on a WWE podcast. And turns out that was about 5 or 6 or 7 days after my shoulder surgery on my right arm, where I had a total rebuild of the rotator cuff and fixed my labrum. And there wasn't no way homie was going to travel to Baltimore with a tore up wing and risk getting bumped inside the airport or whatever just because I wasn't going to tear my shoulder up. I didn't get a chance to interview Shane, but he's coming out to the West Coast. I'm looking forward to Shane coming by 316 Gimmick Street, sitting down, shooting the shit, opening up a can of whoop-ass with a guy that I've known. Jesus Christ, I've known Shane since 96, 06. I've known Shane for 20 years, and we got along like gangbusters ever since I can remember. And I remember him and AJ Styles lighting the joint up at WrestleMania 33, and we'll talk about WrestleMania 33, AJ Styles, how WrestleMania went, and his opinion. We'll talk about all of his big moments in his professional wrestling career, his lifetime in the business. Shit, man. Shane McMahon is fourth generation in the business. So I'm looking forward to talking to the man. He's coming by the crib, and I am going to do some Q&A with him. If you've got some questions that you want to ask Shane McMahon, send them to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Underneath subject, put Shane O'Mac or Shane McMahon, so I'll know which ones are directed to Shane. I'll pick and pull some of those, copy and paste them. And after I talk with Shane, I'll ask him some questions that you guys wanted to ask him. I'm looking forward to talking to the man. It's been a long time, and he's headed out to the West Coast, and he's going to stop by, and we're going to open up again. Hey, man, got some good shit going on. Before I get to my man here, Rhett Thibodeau, I need to take a quick pause for the cause and thank another sponsor who lets me do this podcast for free twice a week, and that's Nature Box. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you. They're made with high-quality ingredients that don't have any artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. And they got something for everyone. They got snacks like crispy coconut squares, jalapeno cheddar popcorn, and salt and vinegar veggie chips. They also got gluten-free snacks and vegan snacks. And Nature Box recently improved their service. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. So go to naturebox.com/unleashed and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from and are always adding new snacks too. Just choose the ones you like and they'll deliver them right to your door. And if you ever try a snack that you don't like, Nature Box will replace it for free. And right now, you'll save even more. Nature Box is offering 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/unleashed. That's naturebox.com/unleashed for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/unleashed.
My name is Raven, professional wrestling superstar, world-class idiot, and raconteur extraordinaire. Join me for my new podcast, The Raven Effect. Every Monday here on the Jericho Network on Podcast One, we'll be covering current events and any and all topics that can be properly bantered. Download and listen to the show on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on iTunes. Quote The Raven, nevermore.
Steve Austin, Unleashed. Unleashed.
Brett Thibodeau, what are you doing?
I'm being a damn poor boy.
A goddamn poor boy.
Hey, this is Will Sasso, ain't it?
Ain't no Will Sasso. Goddamn it, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
How in the world do you have time to call me on the phone?
I'm sitting here on my ass. I said, well, shit, I need a podcast. I sit here going through my emails. I look at all the questions you ask. I said, well, shit, I call Rhett down there in goddamn Louisiana. And it turns out when I call you, you're stuffing your face with a po' boy sandwich.
Well, shit, you don't even know how many times me and my partner talked about going down to Tilden, Texas during hunting season and just trying to run into your ass. But I figured you'd probably run me off the Broken Skull Ranch anyway. And you'd be like, damn, Mark, get out of here. You know what I'm saying?
Goddamn, I tell you what, that was a hard place to find, man. I had the goddamn guy come out there and moving my UTVs, my buggies, my Kawasaki mules, and my four-wheelers, and hell, that sumbitch went over at the dark, and I told him where my gate was. It's 15 miles down a county road, and he got there. I was in Los Angeles, and that sumbitch ended up sleeping on the side of the road, so it's a hard place to find, but then you got to go through a couple of gates to get there, so I don't know if you'd have found it out there, but hey, man, y'all been doing any deer hunting over in Louisiana?
Trying to, but I ain't had much luck, you know. It's been hotter than a witch's tit out where we go. Wet until the oldies is almost miserable to go out there and sit around mosquitoes trying to carry you off, you know. And I was like, well, I need to find me a new spot. I had we had about 25 acres family property I was hunting on. But Pawpaw died, and when Pawpaw died, all the siblings went to shit and all butting heads with everybody else, and I kind of threw my hands up and trying to find me another spot. But hey, got me a Ford Bronco ready to go.
Well, I got two questions, okay? Man, I've been all over Louisiana. Back in the day when I was playing junior college football, we played a lot of the JV teams from LSU, Northeast Louisiana, stuff like that. And then when I went to North Texas, we played all them Louisiana teams. So I played damn near
every time, huh?
I played damn near every single Louisiana football team that there is. We were about 50-50. Sometimes we'd roll up there and get the shit kicked out of us. Every now and then we'd squeak a win by. But, and then along with that, hell, in all the little wrestling towns I've been in Louisiana, that's one of my favorite states, and I'm a big fan of Cajun food. But my question is, as much as I love the state of Louisiana, y'all got any good deer hunting over there?
Nope. There ain't no deer hunting over here, man. Yeah, in North Louisiana, I guess you do. Why, are you going to come by a new Broken Skull Ranch? No, it's too far away from Los Angeles.
Well, that's the thing, man. That's why I had to get rid of the Broken Skull Ranch down there in South Texas. It was 1,500 miles, and shit, man, as much as I love that place, I just kept thinking, you know, going back and forth, finally after 10 years of doing it. Well, about 8 years in, that's when I kind of talked to my wife. I said, you know, we might want to consider doing something that's a little bit easier. So that's why we ultimately put it up for sale, because, man, once you dry or fly 1,500 miles, you get your rental car if you flew down there, then you go get your groceries, then you unpack, and then you start doing all the work that needs to be done out there. It turns into be a motherfucker. And don't get me wrong, you love doing the kind of work when you get on the tractor and you're mowing and shit like that, but finally, man, enough is enough. And I want to be able to, while I'm still young enough, to find a place close enough that I can enjoy the outdoors more than I have been. Because, dude, when you come from South Texas and a small town of 5,000 people, all of a sudden you're in a concrete jungle called Los Angeles with about 13 million people here. You got to have a good getaway, so that was kind of my strategy.
Yeah, I understand. Being a senior citizen like yourself, you know, it's kind of hard to keep up with all that stuff.
Goddamn senior citizen now. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I won't fire up that 95 Dodge Ram Charger out down the curb, drive down to Lafayette, Louisiana, stomp a mud hole in your ass and walk it dry. You threatening the wrong cat, motherfucker. Hey, let's shift gears here for a second.
I know Frogman LeBlanc now.
Come on, you tell me something about Frogman LeBlanc, because if you don't know, if you're listening to this show, Frogman LeBlanc was my first opponent inside a professional wrestling ring way back in about 1989. It might have been the beginning of 1990, there in the Sportatorium. I made $40 for that match. I was able to beat the one and only Frogman LeBlanc from Cut Off, Louisiana, with a flying clothesline. You don't know him.
Well, speaking of Cajun food, you want to talk about Cajun food in Louisiana and all stuff. One thing you always say, and I tried to email you one time about it, is Frogman LeBlanc, the sea of silence. You got to say LeBlanc, not LeBlanc. So you're going around your whole life saying LeBlanc. So now you got to say LeBlanc.
Yeah, but goddamn, you got to understand, I come from South Texas, slinging that South Texas trash. So when I say Frogman LeBlanc, I'm saying Frogman LeBlanc. I can't give him the proper respect by saying Frogman LeBlanc. Hell, that, now let me, shit, I got to put some mustard on that motherfucker.
I hear that. I was doing an independent wrestling show one time in the home of Louisiana.
Yes.
And I ran into this girl. Well, you call her a rat. You know, them girls that used to hang around the ring. They were called ring rats, right? She was hanging around the boys in the back. She come around. Well, it just so happened she was trying to holler at me. Well, we was eating at the Waffle House. You know, the only place that's open whenever the wrestling show's over. Just so happens she was Frogman LeBlanc's daughter. And I didn't know that yet until I went home with her. And then I got to her house. And then Frogman LeBlanc come chasing me out the door. I didn't know who he was. He said, oh, that's Frogman. That's Frogman. I had to go look it up and see who Frogman was.
Hey, so are you still wrestling?
Yeah, I'm still wrestling. I have my own wrestling ring. I rent it out to a couple other indie promotions. I have my I'm booking my own show. Me and a couple of guys. We got some sponsors going on. Just a little, you know, nothing fancy, not like Stone Cold caliber, but you know, we got one man gang booked out for that show. He's not gonna be doing nothing. He's just gonna be doing meet and greet. Try to help us out with the, you know, advertising a little bit. When get some of them old heads in there, you know, some of the people like the old school wrestling. They see them old names pop up every once in a while on a flyer. They might show up, you know?
Well, hey, man, how's the One Man Gang doing? Because I was a huge fan of him way back in the day.
Not
the
so great.
747 Splash. Why you say that? And he just, hard times?
I don't know if you heard, 2016, August 2016, we got a pretty bad flood out here in Louisiana. I mean, it flooded big time. Like, a lot of homes got flooded. I want to say, like, 75% of Baton Rouge homes got flooded, and One Man Gang's George, his middle name is George. One of his homes was one of the ones. So we're gonna try to do like a little benefit, help him out a little bit. You know, let him do his table, sell some gimmicks, take some pictures, you know, all that crap. Try to help him out a little bit, but you know, everybody got flooded out here, Steve.
Hey, man, that's one thing about Louisiana.
You hear about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what. My younger brother, Kevin, was in the Coast Guard, and he was right there in New Orleans where he's based out of right before Katrina hit. And he was there right before Katrina hit. They shipped his ass to Kodiak, Alaska, so he barely missed that storm. And then he did another tour there in New Orleans after Katrina hit. But, man, it just always seems like you guys get hit with the worst weather. And then when all them goddamn oil spills happened, it made me sad to see all the damn beatings and everything that the coastal area of Louisiana takes. I was down there shooting for about 2 months, filming a part of the Expendables several years ago. And this is after Katrina, after all that oil spilled and shit, dude. As many times as I've been to New Orleans just to wrestle, we'd always go in and out. And that was the first time I really got to hang out in the city. I'd walk around in the French quarters every single day, you know, during my days off while they were getting all the big shots shot out. And, man, I was eating crawfish etouvée, drinking, you know, Bloody Marys, drinking beer over at Acme Oyster Bar. I just love that city. But, yeah, y'all seem to be able to get the damnedest weather over there. But I love the state of Louisiana.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad, man. You need to come visit sometime. Well, you probably don't. You know you're too busy, you know. Unless you're doing a Broken Skull Cajun edition out here, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, I tell you what, we do a Cajun edition. That'd be crazy as hell. Hey, let me ask you something about them Broncos. You said, Rhett sent me an email one time. He says, God damn, he goes, you didn't give her brother some notice. I could have come down there and bought one of them Ford Broncos from you when I sold the Broken Skull Ranch. I left those two Broncos there, Rhett, because one of them's a 96 and one of them's a 95 XL. And they're both
the one was your dad's Bronco.
That was that XL. It was
your dad didn't want his Bronco.
Well, I actually bought it for him, so it was technically my Bronco. So I just conveyed it with the sale. Now I got my 95 out here on the streets. That thing only has 40,000 original miles, so that's kind of like my baby. I'll never sell that Bronco. But I saw in your email that you got a chance to pick one up. What year model did you get?
I got an 89, and it's fuel injected, but it's got an aftermarket crate motor in it, so it only has about 50,000 miles on the original crate motor. I mean, on the crate motor, it's a 351. It was changed out, so that's why I scooped it up, because I was on the market for 94, 95, I sent you some emails before when I was in the market for a Bronco, and you said just try to find you one with low miles, which, you know, that's few and far and hard to find, being all the years that they made them. So I was like, well, I can't find me a damn low mileage Bronco. And I was like, so I just found one with a crate motor in it, and it had low miles on it. I got the paperwork on it, everything, but I still got issues with it. It's still like missing whenever I punch on the gas. It still doesn't want to have all the power it should have on that 351. But you know, I've only struggled in my day. I've had an 80, an 81, an 83, and an 86. So one was a 302, one was a 351, one was a straight six. I've owned them, but I've always gotten rid of them because they weren't practical for what I was doing. But now I'm getting older and my whatever, and it's my favorite vehicle because of, you know, just basically it's a short wheelbase. You can turn it on the dime. You know, it's got the power you need to pull anything you need, and, you know, it don't get stuck.
Well, that's what I always tell people is you've got plenty of interior room. It's stop on a dime, spit out a nickel change, easy to parallel park here in the streets of Los Angeles because, man, I brought back my Chevy pickup. It's an 03. It's a cab and a half with a long bed. I went to a blood drive the other day at Santa Monica to drop off a pint of blood, and I was in underground parking, and I'm probably one of the best drivers in the world, Rhett, and I couldn't park that motherfucker in any one of the slots they had downstairs, so I had to valet that motherfucker, go drop off a pint of blood, and then come back and get my truck, and goddamn, I hate to valet park, especially because I like to do all my shit myself. And the fact that I take pride in being such a goddamn good driver, if I can't pull into a space that's that fucking small, because L.A. is built for a mid-sized car or a compact car and fucking Priuses, it really chapped my ass. That's why I like my Bronco. And I'm hoping they're talking about bringing back the Ford Bronco in 2020, whenever it is. I hope they don't fuck it up, make it too small, make the interior like a mid-sized, like a Jeep Cherokee. With all respect to the Jeep Cherokee, they're going to fuck it up, make it too compact, put a shitty motor in there. So I'm hoping that it can live up to my expectations, but I don't know that it will.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully the top will still come off.
Hey, man, no, I don't know about the top. I doubt they're going to make a top come off because of just all the safety factors and the new rule changes and all the stuff like that with how they make these damn cars. But let me ask you again. Let's go back to a little bit of pro wrestling. My damn Black Lab just came in here, Callie, and Hershey the Wonder Dog just came in here. Hershey the Wonder Dog says hello. Thank you. I wanted to ask you a question about your wrestling. You said you work on the indie scene, and how long you been working?
Man, believe it or not, Steve, I've been working probably about damn near 16 years, I want to say. I originally broke in with, you may or may not know him, but you know who he was saying by. I was broke in with Rodney Mack and Jazz, former WWE women's champion. They're married, and they went out when she was still doing the run, and Rodney had got released. They had came actually before he signed, when he was in OVW. I was doing some work in Kentucky, and I bumped into him, and he was training. He happened to be from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I hooked up with him and started training. So I trained with him. He was trained by Rod Price, and I know you know Rod Price fairly well.
Yep.
He's still down here. He was still doing independent shows at the time, so I was doing some running around, you know, sitting in the back seat, listening to all these guys talk. You know, when you go on those long road trips, you're sitting in a freaking hour for sitting in the car for 9 hours and the radio doesn't even come on one time because they're just filling you with knowledge, you know what I mean? You just drive into Denton, Texas or Dallas, Texas or Austin, Texas, run these shops, you might be carrying their bag or their guy, they might throw you a $20 bill and get you something to eat, but other than that, you just basically riding their coattail, you know, going around with them and getting your foot in the door and getting your indie scene going, you know?
Well, man, what was your gimmick, Rhett?
Man, I played Retro Thibodeau from Karen Crow.
So what was that all about? Tell me who Retro was.
Well, nothing fancy, right? I didn't even know what Retro was. Retro was just a firecracker, a high flyer that was kind of dumb, and I would do dumb shit. And they slowed me down and said, hey, look, man, there's no reason to fly all over the place like this. Now I'm 34, and I'm more technical sound. I'm more like a, I want to say I'm like a methodical. Like nobody can be like a William Regal, but I got like the William Regal / Eddie Guerrero. Like I can still fly if I need to, but I only do it when it makes sense because, you know, like pick and choose your bumps, you know, because. You know how that is. You wake up in the morning and you're kind of like, oh, fuck, I had to drag my ass out of bed. So, Retro is just an entertainer. I did now. I changed. I'm out of the space. Went out there and, you know, kissed the babies, shake their hands, and just did high flies and did little fancy moves and tried to be, you know, just a fan favorite. Now I'm Rhett the Threat. Rhett the Threat is just a devious heel. Just goes out there and he does chicken shit heel. Kind of does dastardly deeds and sneaks out of the ring whenever, you know, the shit's about to hit the fan. Just takes advantage because I'm only 5 foot 5'7" on a good day, about 180 pounds. So you know, I gotta choose my battles. You know what I mean?
Well, goddamn, yeah. Because when you started saying some high flying stuff, I was thinking, okay, man, shit. I was wondering what your physical measurements was. So you about 5'7", about a what'd you say, about 180?
Yeah, 180 now, and that's all that beer and that fried freaking catfish po' boy I was just eating. That's what all that shit is. But nah, I still get to the gym. I ain't as heavy witted as Stone Cold might be, but, you know, I try to get my time in at the gym when I can.
But you said a real smart thing there at 34 years of age and close to 16 years inside the squared circle. You said something, you got to pick your spots because you only got so many bumps on your bump card. Each time you take a bump, they just put a little punch right there in your card, a little punch hole. So, you know, that shit will catch up to you down the road. You know, now that I'm 52, yeah, I feel some of them bumps. And I remember when the likes of a superstar Bill Dundee or gorgeous Gary Young or, you know, some of these other guys that say, hey, kid, you might want to slow down a little bit, man. You got to pace yourself. You want to be here for the long haul. And, you know, back in, you know, when you're young in the business, you don't really understand that because you want to go, go, go. And that's everybody's mistake when they're green anyway, is they hurry too much. They rush stuff. They don't milk the crowd enough. But with respect to just trying to take a stupid bump to try to get a reaction from the crowd, you know, you can understand the hustle aspect of that or trying to get noticed aspect of it. But to take dumb bumps just to try to get over later on down the road, you're going to pay for it on the backside.
Well, you're definitely right about that. And it goes to show you, like, when I tried to go out there, I tried to throw everything out there in my arsenal, everything in the kitchen sink, because you just want to show what you can do and when you can do it. Like, I had an ECW tryout, the WWE brand ECW tryout. Ted DiBiase was running the program. Rodney Mack got me in, got me a little spot. I went in there, and I figured that I would just throw everything I had in there to try to raise an eyebrow and get somebody to take a look at me. Well, after that, Ted DiBiase pulls us aside, and he says, listen. He said, great. You can wrestle. You can do all this stuff. I don't need any of that. I need someone that can go out there and tell a story. I need someone that can go out there and sell gimmicks. I need someone that can go out there and, you know what I mean? Get old, a character. You needed a character. And
yes.
I was like, oh, take. So I did go out there and I gave it my all. I did my amateur spots. I did my high flying spots. I did my everything. And it wasn't what they was looking for. So he said, I got guys in all sides of the planet that can wrestle. I need something different. And I was like, damn. So that's when I went back to the drawing board and I said, well, Red the Threat, Retro, whatever the fuck you want to call yourself, what can you do that will set you aside different from everybody else, you know? I still ain't fine. Obviously, I'm working a day job. I'm an alarm security technician. I do burglar alarms, fire alarms, access control, all that stuff. You know, simply say security, Steve.
You're goddamn right. Okay, before we continue on my conversation with Rhett Thibodeau down there in Louisiana, I have to take a minute to make sure y'all are ready for Mother's Day because it's coming up, people, and you don't want to be standing there come Sunday with nothing for Mom. That's where I come in. I got your back with a gift idea that both Mom and your wallet are going to love. The Books. I know that sending flyers online isn't always easy to do. Sure, you get hooked in with that $19.99 advertised price, but then when you get to checkout, the price suddenly jumps to $100 because of all the shipping and the handling and the special care charges that get added on. Well, here's a solution, Books.com. Books are farm-fresh flowers that can last up to 2 weeks. They're cut to order, so they're always fresh, and they're guaranteed to last. Books flowers start at just $40, so they won't break your bank either. And when I say $40, I mean $40. Ain't no hidden fees. Ain't no special care and handling fees either. What you see is what you get with the Books. And right now, if you register at Books.com and use my promo code Steve, you'll save 20% off your order and receive free weekday delivery. And if you're looking to earn brownie points with mom or any other special somebody in your life, then you should register for the Books Just Because service, which lets you randomly surprise someone however many times a year you'd like. You choose the flowers and delivery dates, and the Books takes care of the rest. So register now at thebooks.com and use my promo code Steve to save 20% off your order and get free weekday delivery. That's promo code Steve at thebooks.com.
Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Unleashed. Unleashed.
Hey, well, let me ask you something. You grew up in Lafayette?
Yeah, Lafayette and Baton Rouge. My parents were divorced, so I bounced back and forth between the two.
Okay, well, so then, man, you said you're 34?
34.
They're 34 years old. Okay, I got you by a few years. My question is this. Now, way back in the day, you know, wrestling was a little bit more regional because you didn't, you know, you had all the different territories and Vince McMahon hadn't taken over the wrestling world. So, you know, I was getting Bill Watts, Mid-South, Power Pro. I was getting NWA, it would turn to WCW. I finally started getting WWF. I saw AWA. So I saw all these different brands of wrestling. So when you were coming up, when did you start becoming a fan of the business of pro wrestling? What got you hooked on the business?
Well, my uncle, he was an amateur wrestler in his high school. And my mom used to take me to his amateur wrestling. And then one time, we went to one of the shows, and we met Bam Bam Bigelow. And so we met Bam Bam Bigelow, and then we just always watched, I always watched the Bushwhackers. I liked the Bushwhackers, and I liked, of course, the old famous Hulk Hogan. And but I had quit watching wrestling for a long time, Steve. I'll tell you that. I quit watching for a long time when it got all comical and your gobbledygookers and you're always faking this stuff, and it was like, hey, this is fake. And my brother would pick on me, and I really quit watching it for a long time. I really didn't start watching it until years later. I seen some kids walking around with these NWO shirts on, and I'm like, what's this NWO? And they're like, oh, it's a gang. We're in a gang called the New World Order. And I'm like, you're in a gang? I still didn't watch it yet. And I'm flipping through the channels one time, and I see Hulk Hogan on TV with a black beard and wearing black outfit. And I'm like, no, he didn't just turn bad. So, and that's what got me. It's a whole Hollywood Hulk Hogan turning bad, got me hooked back in. But you made me flip the station, I'll tell you that. You know, when I found out what WCW was doing, that was cool. I was watching it, blah, blah, blah. But then what's this guy doing over here? Well, damn, that guy's flipping off the camera and everything else, drinking beer. I'm like, oh, man, this is the shit. So that got me flipping back and forth between the two channels, and that's when I said, you know what? Me and my buddies, we started backyard wrestling, and I know the old crows are like backyard wrestling, but, you know, a lot of guys have come from backyard wrestling, so we just started a backyard wrestling federation up, and we started backyard wrestling, jumping off the top of the roofs and on trampolines and whatnot, and basically kicking each other's asses, and we ran into an independent wrestler, and he's like, he showed me how to lock up and how to work from the left and how to bump, and all of a sudden I thought I was a wrestler. And I say, hey, look at this. We're wrestlers now. We work on the left side. And I would just start studying Japanese tape and playing video games, and we killing each other, trying to suplex each other and body slam each other, you know, all that fun stuff.
Were you ever hurt doing any of the backyard wrestling stuff, jumping on roofs and trampolines and shit?
Yeah, Steve, I've popped my shoulder out of socket like probably 6 times. I've had the shoulder surgery on it. And actually, when I went to the doctor, doctor said, I was 20 years old at the time. Doctor said, man, Rhett, your ligaments, or you're shot. You pretty much don't have nothing in both of your shoulder joints. My right shoulder joint was fucked, and my left shoulder joint was fucked. And he said, you need reconstructive surgery on these, or for torn rotator cuffs. You probably know all about them shoulder surgeries. But he say, the choices are, you got both of them are bad, you want, which one do you want repaired first? And I'm thinking like a freaking wrestler. I said, well, shit, I got a left side. I need my left side done first. You know? I still, to this day, never got my right side done, so it still acts up. But, hey, I can sure take an arm drag, goddammit.
Hey, let me ask you something. When you start talking about the Monday Night Wars and you being probably, Jesus Christ, I would use probably give or take, what, 20 then?
I think I was probably 16.
Give or take, okay. So you start watching the Monday Night Wars and you're flipping back and forth and you just said, you know, Hogan had turned heel. They was running NWO. Hall and Nash were on fire. And then all of a sudden we start coming up in WWF. And, you know, we was going to war each week and they was kicking our ass for 2 years in the ratings. And then finally we took over and we ended up putting their ass out of business. But that goddamn, they had a hot show. And then, boy, all of a sudden we started tooling up. Then DX spun up. The Rock spun up. Here comes Mick Foley. Taker was always, you know, kicking ass. D-Generation X, you know, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn along with Triple H, X-Pac, all those guys. What was your takeaway from the Monday Night Wars? And what did you like or dislike about what everything... What? Well, I mean, I don't think there was anything disliked back then. It was the hottest period in history of pro wrestling.
Say it, those titties.
Come on, you got to give me something more than that.
Okay, I just had to throw that one out there. No, man, I like more or less the realness of the stuff. I like the stuff that Raven and the Flock were doing, because I took more to that. I know it's WCW side of things, but I took more to that because they were more small statured guys that, you know, that I could relate to. I took to the light guys like Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho. And when Chris Jericho and Saturn and Eddie Guerrero, when they jumped ship, I was pretty much made up my mind there. I was like, well, pretty much everything I liked at WCW done left and went to WWE, you know, so I was like, sit cannon pretty much WCW, because all they was beating a dead horse at that NWO thing, like Sting turning NWO. I don't know how many different colors they had of NWOs. I was like, man, this is dumb, and it just got stalemate, you know. And I just, in my opinion, you know, and WWE was constantly doing different stuff, you know. They had Goldust, this element over here was doing some crazy shit over here, and he had Steve Austin over here fighting with fucking Rock and them tearing it up. That was always entertaining to watch. I mean, you still had your Chris Jericho coming in. You had Big Show, you know, like him or not. I always liked Big Show. I don't know. It was just,
you know, you touched upon a couple of names there. You know, when you talk about Raven and the Flock, you know, Raven, man, we go way back. We were old travel partners, and that was a really, really smart guy. And all the promos he started dropping in his ECW days and, you know, in WCW, I just thought those guys should have got more of a push than they did. Don't get me wrong, they were featured, but he was a hell of a talent and a hell of a promo. I mean, when you talk about Jericho and Saturn and, you know, Guerrero and all those guys would come to WWF, that was a great time. And, you know, the thing about Chris Jericho is, I mean, he's one of the hardest, smartest working guys I've ever met. And you will have to
get... Dude, I said that at the last pay-per-view. I mean, cut you off. But at the last pay-per-view, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy, Jericho, doesn't quit. I mean, it doesn't matter what he's in. He's always...
You have to get up real early in the morning to outwork Chris Jericho, and they got to give that guy so much. Well, he'll be a Hall of Fame as soon as he quits, but every territory that he's been, he has gotten over at the highest level. So those guys came over there, and it was a great influx of talent. And then to your point, the NWO stuff, it started getting a little bit stale. As hot as it was for as long as it was, then it kind of started beating a dead horse, and it started getting a little bit old. I just never forget you know, we would be putting on these good shows in WWF, and we thought we were smoking it, man. And you know, the ratings, they still were kicking ass. They still were kicking ass. I was thinking to myself, God damn, man, what we got to do to beat these motherfuckers? Because it was getting frustrating. And that's how competitive it was. But finally, we turned the corner. But I just remember every time we showed up at Monday Night Raw, man, that whole locker room, I was damn near full of Hall of Famers. And, like, everybody was chomping at the bit to see what the fuck we was going to do. And this was back in the days where, you know, it was still pretty much a wild, wild west. You ain't got no scripted promos. You go out there and talk shit, get over, try to put money, put asses in the seats. And, you know, if you and me are working, shit, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to run you down so that when you get your promo, you can do the exact same to me. We're doing business. And so, but it was you listening to me and then cutting a promo based on what I said or vice versa. So, man, it was just, it was a really good time. Do you still watch the business today?
I try, but I don't religiously watch it. I'll catch the big pay-per-views. Like, I watch WrestleMania, I watch the Royal Rumbles, and I watch the four main ones, SummerSlam and stuff like that. I can't keep up with a Raw. There's too much. I don't have 3 hours to sit and do nothing. And plus, you know, I pretty much cancel my cable. I watch it on Hulu, so where it's all chopped up and it's in pieces, to where you don't have to watch the entire fucking thing. It's just really too much to swallow. And you know, when you sit there in your armchair booking, and you're like, well, they should have did this, or they should have done that. I just really don't follow as much. I'm more. I do train. I train wrestling training every week, Wednesdays every week. Every Wednesday, we're trying to do training when people show up. On weekends, we're training. So a lot of times, I'm tied up with that, and then I work my day job. Then I got real estate, a couple of real estate properties I'm trying to maintain. I'm trying to do the grown up thing, you know. Trying to run a couple shows, you know. Try to run me a couple wrestling shows. Get me some. Get some shit going on with the way, in my opinion, how I feel wrestling should be. I'm actually making the T-shirt right now, and everybody is putting this live if I can steal it. I'm making it, making wrestling great again, and I'm putting a little American flag thing gimmick on there and everything, try to push the Donald Trump gimmick going on and wrestle me some Mexican wrestlers. You know, so trying, hey, man, to make wrestling great, well, again, Steve.
Well, let me ask you something. We're working your day job, trying to flip a little real estate, and then trying to run some jobs on the side, some wrestling shows. How are wrestling shows drawing these days? And what are y'all working, community centers, some National Guards? Where are y'all putting your shows on?
Yeah, we got one at a rec center, like your little rec center. Sometimes we get a little high school gym, you know, throw a little hustle back to the school for letting you use the gym, main gyms or whatnot. We're doing the high school gyms. Drawing, not so much to brag about. I mean, it's about anywhere from 250 to 500 people on a good promoted, if a good promoted show, and, you know, like some good radio that nobody really listens to anymore anyway. I need to do some podcast advertising. Hey, is this going on your podcast or what?
Goddamn right, this motherfucker's dropping tomorrow.
June 17th, ladies and gentlemen, live, Denham Springs, Louisiana, Pro Wrestling 225, coming to you. We got the one-man game in the limited color. Come out, come one, come all. We'll have ourselves a ball. Yeah. So, you know, I like that.
Hey, man, but a house at $250,500, man, on a local scene, that's pretty good. That's pretty good business.
You think so? All right.
Well, I mean, you're not gonna buy a mansion, but I mean, goddamn, you're doing what you love to do, and that's a good house. Hey, man, when I first broke in rent in Dallas, Texas, the territory was down, and technically, Jerry Jarrett had already bought the territory from Fritz Von Erich, so it was actually USWA. And when I come up in that motherfucker and went through Chris Adams Wrestling School one day a week for about 5 months, and I finally started, you know, doing some matches and working with Chris. Hey, man, we're working on Chevrolet dealership parking lots. I'm out there getting suplexed by Chris Adams. I mean, there might be 25 motherfuckers out there. And so, hey, man, you know, I've been in front of some of the biggest crowds in the world, but I've also been in front of some of the smallest ones. So, you know, but the thing is, it's always fun when you're doing something that you love to do. And I love to do it. I never knew it turned into what it turned into, but as long as you're having fun with it and you can put a little money in your pocket, how many matches do you try to put on?
Now, there'll be other guys that'll book like 8 or 9 matches on a card, That's really too much, in my opinion. I think a good 5 to 6 or maybe even 7 solid matches is something good, you know. Have you like 2 good openers, or maybe even 3 good openers. Have you a nice little intermission, so I'd sell some gimmicks, have somebody go out there and take some pictures with some kids, get the champion out there, maybe take pictures in the ring, you know, try to make a little hustle by selling some t-shirts or selling some pictures. For the most part, I mean, that's about how it goes down when we run a show. But if you get somebody out there, nobody really wants to deal with their kids, especially if they got little kids. Nobody wants to deal with their kids running around, bouncing all over the planet, trying to, you know, keep begging you for money, making a rap for like 3 hours at a time. If you can get them in and get them out in 2 hours, I think you're doing good.
All right. Now tell me, when you're putting these shows on, are you putting yourself in the main? Are you promoting?
Hell no, I told you, Steve, I'm 5'7". It don't make no sense. I'm a businessman. I'm not going to go put myself in the spotlight. I'll put myself curtain jerking. That way, I put on the best match, and everybody has to go out there and show me up or compete or get themselves over. Got to compare to Retro's match, because he just went out there and had the best match of the night. Plus, after I'm done jerking the curtain, I can either go home if it's not my promotion, or I can run the promotion because my match is already done.
Well, you know, you get a fresh crowd, and you could set the tone for everybody else. So I'm hoping you ain't out there using the steel chairs and all the gimmicks for the people that's going to come on later. So, yeah, but you get a fresh crowd. That's
yeah,
smart.
Yeah, man, makes sense, right?
That, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Hey, man, how long you want to do this shit?
Man, I don't know. I guess until somebody picks me up off the ground and tells me I can't do it anymore.
Well, God damn it.
You know, and if I'm breaking the bank and I ain't making no money, I didn't get in, especially in Louisiana. I don't know if you know anything about Louisiana. I mean, I know a lot of Louisiana, but out here you have to have a commissioner, you have to have a doctor, and you have to have an ambulance. Texas, I don't think you have to on the indie scene, so you can make a lot more money, because over in Louisiana you have to schedule it with the commission. And it's like $250, then your ambulance is about an hour, then you have to have a doctor on site. Ambulance and doctor doesn't count for one, you have to have two, you have to have both. So it's really hard, and then you got the boys, you got to pay the boys, so it's really hard to bring in main talent. You got to use a lot of local boys, because, you know, of all these fees you got to pay, there's no money to be made. You know, nobody's going to go or show $20 a ticket. You just figure $12 a ticket, $15 a ticket, front row, or whatever, you know. So the profit margin isn't so much. So in Louisiana, if you get into it, if you're breaking even, you're doing good.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you really only do it because, like you said, you're having fun doing it. You get to hang out with your boys, and it's good times.
If you're promoting your own show, Rhett, are you the guy laying down the finishes?
No, see, I am co-booking, I guess, so to speak. I am with 3 other dudes, and we're all kind of promoting together. So he got some storylines going on. You know, he gets off on writing the finishes. You know, so I'm more or less more focused on the production side of things. Like, I'm having banners made, I'm getting flyers made, I'm collecting sponsors, I'm getting sponsors, I'm getting the financial support side of things. So as far as the booking and storylines goes, I'm not as involved with that as maybe I should be or whatever. I kind of got my own angles I got control over and whatnot, but other than that, that's it.
Okay. So y'all have been hearing me talk about DDP Yoga pretty much since I started this podcast, and it's not only because Diamond Dallas Page is one of the original and longest-running sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. It's mostly because DDP Yoga is a damn fine fitness program that gets results. You've heard me run down all the pro wrestlers doing DDP Yoga, everyone from Jake the Snake to Scott Hall to Chris Jericho to RVD to Mick Foley, and Mick the latest to join the program. If you were watching Monday Night Raw, then you know Mick dropped over 100 pounds, is in the best shape of his life. Mick also just had his hip replaced. Mick, good luck with your recovery. But what you might not know is that DDP Yoga has actually changed the lives of thousands of people from all walks of life, and it can do the same for you. And there's no better time than right now to give DDP Yoga a try, especially since Dallas has given y'all 20% off the DDP Yoga DVDs, the DDP Yoga Now app,
and all DDP yoga related merch. And when I say all, I mean all. Hats, t-shirts, heart rate monitors, mats, and more. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. The DDP Yoga Now app gives you everything you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. DDP's got tons of workouts, nutrition tips and recipes, a way to track your progress, and even offers motivation for those days that you need it the most. The app also lets you access live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center. And like I said, you get all that for 20% by going to ddpyoga.com/Austin. So get on the DDP Yoga program today and change your life. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. That's ddpyoga.com/Austin. If you're in the market for a car, then you need to check out True Car. True Car gives you the price and information you need to feel confident about your purchase. When you register True Car, you'll see what other people in your local area paid for the car you want. And from there, you can connect with a local True Car certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. You see, True Car shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by True Car certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. And you'll also see all the dealer incentives before you get to the lot so you can feel confident about the price when you show up. True Car makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or a used vehicle. And the stats don't lie. Over 3 million cars have been sold to True Car users by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 dealers in that network with some 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. So do yourself a favor and go to True Car for your next car buying experience. True Car doesn't just make the process easier, it'll also save you some money. True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Unleashed. Unleashed.
All right, Rhett, I'm sitting here looking at my questions at steveaustinshow.com, and I always tell everybody, if you send in a question or comment, I read everything that comes in this motherfucker, and I got shit about, I don't know, 20 emails from you. I ain't fucking around, dude. If I tell you I'm doing something, I do it. I called your ass right in the middle of a goddamn po' boy sandwich. So my question is,
let me ask you something.
That's what I'm going to give you a chance to do. I'm going to give you a chance to ask me whatever you want to ask me, because I tell everybody I can't answer every single email, but if you got a couple questions, fire. I got some answers for you.
All right. Oh, I just had that one. Did you choke up a tear on that podcast the other day that I was listening to, the one where you was talking about selling the broken skull ring?
Goddamn, I damn near started crying. It sure did bring a tear to my
eye. I think you did. I thought you did. I was like, he's crying. Is he crying? I don't want to know if he's crying.
I'll tell you what, the toughest SOB in the history of the WWF, man, I had a tear in my eye. It didn't roll down my cheek, so I stopped it. But, man, when I really thought about it, and I was just telling my buddy about this last night on the phone. He had just heard the news. He goes, goddamn, I can't believe you sold the Broken Skull Ranch. I said, well, fuck, dude. I said, it just got to be too much, man. Doing it for 10 years, 1,500 miles there and back, all the shit I done said. And that last trip back, when I ran out of fucking gas in Junction, Texas, right there by the truck stop, and then when my tailgate fell off my goddamn utility trailer in Lordsburg, New Mexico, and it was just, you know, like I said, it's 1,500 miles of a drive, and I had never been down to the ranch, and there wasn't no work to do, so it just got to be too much. But when I really kind of closed up and, you know, looked at that last picture of my gate, I'll put that out on my Twitter account, the last picture of my gate when I was looking back down the road towards my ranch, I said, hey, man, this is going to be the last time I come down here as the owner of this place. And so, yeah, it was emotional, and I'm not really an emotional, sentimental guy. But that ranch meant a lot to me, and it was a big part of my life. And all the headaches, hassles, and horse shits, and the blood, sweat, and tears we put in that place, and all the good times spent with my my dad and his friends and my family, it was a gathering place. And, you know, my dad would sit out there in the pavilion and play his guitar and sing his songs. And I've been listening to my dad do that stuff for shit. I'm 52, and he'd been singing since he married my mother. So he's 82 years old right now, and he shot a deer last year, scored 156. And, you know, it was good to go out with him shooting a badass deer. And, hell, I got more memories of other people taking good deer than myself. So, yeah, man, I got emotional during that rut. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't cried like a goddamn baby, but I sure had some water in my eyes.
No more headaches, horses, and hassles and horse shit, right?
Well, I'm telling you, you know, it's a labor of love, but when you got to do too much of it, and, you know, it's that 1,500, it's 3,000 miles round trip. I tell everybody, go get in that Bronco, drive 1,500 miles down the road, and then drive back and tell me how you feel. Yeah.
Well, the Bronco probably ain't got cruise control. Well, I guess the newer one's got cruise control, but you know what I mean. Depends on the technology of the vehicle you got. If it's a comfortable ride, or if it's if you're like, fuck, another 1,500 mile ride, you know.
Dude,
let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm in the real estate business, and I always got my eyes on the market. I never saw the Broken Skull Ranch go on the market. So you sold this underground, or you had a buyer already lined up, or how'd that go down? Because I sure would have liked to have the opportunity to make a bid on the Broken Skull Ranch.
God damn it, that's a good question, Rhett. And the way I did that, because that ranch identifies so much with me, and of course I created it, and now I have a television show and everything based around that brand. When I decided to sell that ranch, I was talking to my wife. I said, man, it's just going to be a little much, and she agreed with me. I didn't want a bunch of tire kickers coming out to the ranch because it was Steve Austin's ranch, you know, because it was a Broken Skull Ranch. So, yeah, I kayfabe the list, and I changed the name. And there was a couple of people that knew that would send me some emails, and I just kind of kayfabed it. But I never was hiding it from anybody. I just never advertised the fact that I was selling my ranch, because I didn't want people coming out there just because it was Stone Cold Steve Austin's place. That's one of the finest ranches in South Texas. And the people that came out there, one of them actually asked the real estate agent, because in my pavilion, you know, where the bar was and everything, and I had my gym, that's the only place I really have any of my wrestling stuff displayed. Most of it's in the closets or it's in storage, because you would never know that I was a wrestler if you came to my house. But there I had some stuff, you know, a big poster, some cool shit. And one of the potential buyers said to my real estate agent, he goes, man, why is this guy so infatuated with Stone Cold Steve Austin? He didn't even know he was at my ranch. So to answer your question, I didn't want anybody to know that they were coming to my ranch. I want them to think that they were just going to a badass ranch, and they would either like the ranch for what it was or they wouldn't. And that's how it went down. To a couple of badass people that saw what they were getting, we came to an agreement, and the ranch was sold.
Now, living quarters on the ranch, was it two double-wide trailers? Is that mistaken? Or
you're correct. You're correct. About one's a triple-wide, and one's a double-wide. And then we just kind of combined those things by putting this pavilion in between them. And so that's what it was. And goddamn, those triple-wides these days are pretty fucking nice. And probably there's more room than we needed. If I was going to go back and do it again, I would just put two little hunting shacks out there. You know, one for me and my wife, and one for whoever. Because, dude, overhead is death. You just want as little things to maintain out there on the ranch as possible. Less is more. You want less vehicles, less everything to fuck with, less repairs, and you just want to streamline everything. So that's probably what I'll take into when I go to look for another place. I want to build a small footprint and just have, you know, everything set up exactly the way I want to. I got a little carried away with this one. Go ahead.
Did you get your Broken Skull big metal thing your nephew made? What was his name?
Neil
made that at Top Class. Did you take that?
Oh man, that's sitting right in my garage now. Right, it's sitting on top of my safe, and I'm fixing to hang it. We're remodeling our house next door, and as soon as we get through remodeling the house, that's going to be one of the first things that goes on a wall. I'm so proud of that kid. He just sent me a picture of this red trailer they built over at Gannett High School, where he goes to school at. They got their last, ag mechanics or FFA, whatever, show, and they display these trailers as kind of a competition, and then people can bid on them or whatever. It looks like the utility trailer that I have, except it's a lot more fancy, and the tailgate won't fall fall off of it. But yeah, Neil is a fine young man. He's 17 years old, and he did a hell of a job making that sign out of quarter-inch steel, plasma cutting it and welding it together. I'm real proud of him, and I got a chance to, you know, sit with him at the Broken Skull Ranch and spend a lot of quality time with him. And I would turn him loose in a deer stand. He would know which deer he needed to take, and he would take his time and, you know, take the right deer and just be very responsible. He was I think it just puts a great responsibility responsibility on a kid. And he would drive my Kawasaki mules, my Broncos out there and help us fill feeders. He's just a good young man, and I'm real proud of him, and I'm real proud of that sign that he made me. It's one of my favorite signs that I have. But
well, hell, Steve, you're going to break his heart by selling the Broken Skull Ranch. Now where is he going to go?
Well, I tell you what, I stopped by his house when I stopped in Edna to see my folks. And I was going to stay. I ended up staying at a KOA campground because I knew that if I stopped in a regular hotel and I had about 20, 25 guns in the back of my truck, rifles, you know, my deer rifles, my shotguns and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, if I just start carrying all my rifles inside a hotel, the law is going to show up real quick. So I stayed at a KOA campground in Lordsburg, New Mexico. But right before I left Edna, I got a chance to give Neil one of my favorite deer rifles. And I got this deer rifle in about 1993 in Selma, Alabama, at a Buckmaster's deal with Jackie Bushman. I remember Mark Chestnut, the country music singer, was there. Kurt Henning was there. Ravishing Rick Rude was there. And Remington gave all the guys, you had a chance to choose between a Remington 280 or a 30-06, and Nikon supplied the scope. I went with the Remington 700 BDL and 280, and at Nikon scope, 3-9, 40-millimeter tube. And I've only probably put two boxes through that thing, Rhett. And right before I left Edna, I gave that rig to my little nephew, Neil. And he'd been shooting my 308 all season long at the Broken Skull Ranch. And so I bestowed that upon him, and I was able to get rid of one of my guns and pass it down to him as he can use on the deer leases that he'll hunt in future years. But hey, Rhett.
All right.
Let's wrap this thing up here, man. I just wanted to give you a shout out.
Shit, I know. We made a whole podcast.
You know, we did do. we just did make a whole podcast. Hey, give the folks one more heads up about when that show is going to be on June, so they can know when it's coming down to them.
June 17th, Denham Springs, North Park Rec Center, Denham Springs, Louisiana.
Well, goddamn, I've been talking to Rhett Thibodeau down there in Louisiana. I called his ass out of the blue right while I was eating a po' boy sandwich, catfish inside of it. I've been getting all these emails, and so people think that I don't read my emails. I read every goddamn email I get, and I can't answer them all, but I figured, what the fuck? I feel like talking to the working man today, and I call Rhett, and I called you three times, and you didn't answer your phone. I come here to answer your phone.
Right.
You thought it was a bill collector?
Because he blocked your number, Steve. I guess he's calling you back.
That's not blocked. That was that's just off my Skype. I don't know what it says on the back side of that.
Oh yeah, I did. I thought, well, I said three times. It must be important. Let me see what this motherfucker wants. I said, calling me during my po' boy sandwich. I said, who's this son of a bitch?
God damn it, it's a global icon. It's a global icon and a national treasure. Calling a motherfucker down in Louisiana.
Let me blow some smoke real quick, Steve. I didn't even know what a fucking podcast was until my boy said, hey, Steve got his own podcast. I said, what's a fucking podcast? Then I didn't even know what a fucking Twitter was until your ass was like, Twitter. I still don't fucking follow Twitter all that. So that's why I don't ever get my questions in on the time and fashion like you always request. But I do have email on Speedball, and I'm going to pop it in my phone every once in a while, and it auto-populates. I go to email, and I hit Q, and it says, questions at Steve. And I said, let me send him a question real quick. That's how it goes down.
Hey, man, I see that you got that cold steel broken skull knife, and you actually cut your finger with that motherfucker.
It's in my pocket right now.
I got one in my pocket right now. Mine's orange. Hey, check it out. What I recommend on sharpening these things, because I ain't very good with sharpening a knife. I was just reading this article yesterday talking about using a whetstone and all that, but I'm real bad with angles. What I use, now I'm a cold steel guy, but as far as sharpening a knife, I like the Spyderco Sharp Maker because basically it's croc sticks and you just run that thing down and you know, you're just slicing and it puts you at the correct angle and that thing works like a charm for me. So to answer the email that you sent me, that's how I keep my knife sharp.
Send me that in the email. I'll probably forget.
I'll send it to you.
Send me that in a text message.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you on an email. Hey, Rhett, it's good talking to your ass. I appreciate all the emails. I appreciate you listening to the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is Steve Austin, global icon and national treasure, coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California. Talking with a working man, Rhett Thibodeau, down there in Lafayette, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, down in that goddamn area, Louisiana, Bayou country. Oh, man, I tell you what, I dig me some Cajun food. I'm coming right back to wrap the show up and give you my final thoughts.
Hello there, you. It's me, Jay Moore. You know me from the More Stories podcast. I'm a comedian, I'm an actor, and I talk to people that fascinate me, like Brandon Boyd from Incubus, super funny Jim Jefferies, Jay Leno, Charlie Sheen, Lakers owner Jeannie Buss, and a whole lot more. Download a few episodes of More Stories now. More Stories podcast every Monday. Podcast One app, iTunes, podcastone.com.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cues. Time to wrap up this podcast and ride off into the sunset. When I do, I'm going to walk out my front door and see why this helicopter is buzzing over my goddamn house. Probably here on the mean streets of Los Angeles chasing a criminal or something. I might have to go out there, jump in my white and silver Ford Bronco with the tire iron and a cold steel pocket knife, broken skull edition, and help enforce the law up in this motherfucker, because that's what I do. Anyway, before I go get into action, I'll probably have to do a little DDP yoga to loosen up so I don't pull a hamstring. Shh. I'll put that motherfucker in some DDP yoga for his ass. Yeah, and then do a citizen's arrest on him. Motherfucker, don't come over here in this neighborhood doing that shit. Hey, man, I got some badass t-shirts over at ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. It's all the shit I wore on last season of Broken Skull Challenge, the toughest goddamn show on television. And if you're a beer drinker and you like IPAs, check out Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. Stop by the brewery at 140 Main Street and get a cold one if you're in Los Angeles. If you live in Cali, you can also find it at Whole Foods and Total Wines. And if you ain't in Cali, check InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. And you can find everything that is Steve Austin related at BrokenSkullRanch.com, including the cold steel Broken Skull knife and the brand new Working Man knife. And I got to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at PodcastOne.com. Just click the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Hey, folks, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.